What's going on, B? How you doing today, man?
All right, man. All right.
Hey. Sorry about that. Go ahead, brother. What? I was just feel like I was just about to cut you off.
No, man. We're good. I was just gonna say, you know, doing all right considering we lost an icon.
Man.
You know, on Sunday. You know, we lost somebody that won Kobe Bryant. Considering, you know, major loss, you know, we're doing all right, but we're all gonna move forward with the Mamba mentality.
Absolutely.
And yeah, man, so big shout out to our partner in Chaffetz Capital, Chucky Atkins, who actually, you know, so fortunate, like just a few others actually right. Got to play with Kobe. You know, and one day we'll bring Chucky in the studio and let him talk about leadership and you know what it, you know, let him tell us the stories firsthand from someone that was in the locker room.
Absolutely.
With him and went to battle with him, to be able to talk about his work ethic. And so yeah, you know, that'd be cool to bring Chucky in to talk about that and give respect. But yeah, at the end of the day, I wanted to make sure we opened up. Unfortunately, it's a somber, sad event, but wanted to make sure we opened up and thoughts and prayers are with the family, Vanessa, his wife, and the kids, and the others who perished.
Absolutely.
In the accident. You know, our thoughts and prayers are with them, but to give the Mamba his respect on the podcast today and to let him know, yo, Kobe, we, you know, we're all gonna move forward with that Mamba mentality, man. You taught a lot of folks a lot of things and impacted a lot of individuals, so business and, you know, what he was exactly. doing. Just so looking forward to seeing him transitioning, you know, into the business world. I mean, and like everything, this man comes in with a big bang, Academy Award winner. You know, he started writing books. I mean, he actually even just talking about this and listening. I've been on the fence about writing the next book. You know, everyone's like, when are you going to drop your book about syndications and how to invest in apartments from the perspective of a property manager and asset manager, like, you know, a more in-depth book. You know, and I've been on the fence, you know, we got so many projects going on,
right.
But to hear him and his work ethic and how he was going in and working to get his material out, it's kind of inspired me to say, okay, you know, let's put that Mamba mentality to work and, you know, start to dust off a few things and possibly, you know, start working on my project, man. He's always been a master motivator. So he, in life and in death. So. Big shout out to Kobe Bryant.
Absolutely. And we love working with athletes, you know, helping them get into investing. And we've been watching his career. And you know, it's really a sad loss for everyone. You know, thank you for those words, man. And the Mamba mentality will live on within Chaffetz brand. So, you know, keep your eyes open for all the things that we're going to be doing.
Absolutely.
You know, thank you so much for being here, B, man. Really appreciate you joining us in the studio again today.
Yeah, man. Good to be here, brother. Good to be here.
Yep. You're fresh off a little daddy-daughter bond as well, man. Donuts and
bring a smile.
Daddy and donuts.
Yeah, donuts with dad.
Donuts with dad.
At the school. Donuts with dad. So, yeah, I have a son, you know, but boy, you know, that daughter. Yeah, man. You know, that is something that, it's awesome.
Absolutely.
She's much like me.
Yep.
So, donuts with dad and, you know, my daughter is just, yeah, that's awesome, brother. Yeah. It being a big smile on my face. Yeah. Yeah. Let's get focused. But,
yeah, exactly.
But yeah, man. Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Well, we've been talking a lot about, due diligence, the Scioto process, how to actually acquire, you know, take a look at evaluating properties. But in chapter 6 of your book, Buy It, Rent It, Profit, you actually talk about, it's titled, How Do I Pay For It? Mm-hmm. And so you go into a lot of detail about, you know, getting credit and the type of loans you can qualify for. But you also kind of coined it down to, you said it's like a game of chess. And you've got 5 key moves to checkmate. So I wanted to, you know, hear about your thoughts on, you know, leverage and how you go about qualifying for properties. If you could take us through the chess moves, yeah, I'm going to just kind of break it down. You know, mm-hmm. So the first move, you said, you know, understanding my credit standing as an investor so I could determine my borrowing power. And so, you know, borrowing power is what helps you get maximum leverage. So why is that the first move that you look at when you're going into an investment? And are there other ways of, you know?
So, I mean, first of all, there's always other ways.
Right, right.
So, you know, this is real estate. You got to be creative in a lot of ways. So there's always other ways. But for the most part, most of our listeners are probably sitting there. You're going to have, like always, you're going to have a couple of sets of listeners. Right. You're going to have someone that's, you know, probably doesn't have two nickels to rub together, but maybe they got a ton of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they have a property management company and they've been doing well and they want to look at syndicating. And, you know, they might be a real estate agent, broker, and have their own little firm and doing, you know, like I said, property management. Right. Their credit might be okay, or it might be horrible.
Right.
You know, for those who are, you know, that they're in that position where their credit is lacking, but they bring knowledge to the table.
Right.
Then they leverage that with a partnership. And as you raise and you bring in your general partnerships and you develop that general partnership team, you know, you just want to make sure that somebody on the team has credit worthiness and buying power.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, that someone has either an accredited investor, that's able to show really well,
right.
You know, on the asset and liquidity side.
Okay.
And that may not always be the mastermind of the whole thing. It may not be the person that started the general, you know, the firm, the you know, may not be the syndicator or the general partner, or the, you know, the partner themselves, that started the project, you know, but they went out and recruited someone with a great score. You know, and they may not really want much to do with being involved day to day.
Right.
So, you know, there's various different relationships, but the key is when you build that team, you know, and some listeners are fortunate. They may be the one that have the credit and the capital. Then, you know, you just want to make sure that that individual has the knowledge.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you're dealing with the lender and you're, you know, if you're paying outside of paying cash for the property or the asset, you're going to eventually start utilizing leverage.
Right.
That's why we do this.
Right.
Is to the use of leverage, which is a whole one of the steps is key in understanding how to use it properly.
Right.
But you're going to have to eventually go in front of a lender and you're going to have to qualify. And they're not just looking at income, you know, financial stability. A lot of them are actually even more so looking towards who has the experience.
Okay.
At the end of the day, because the lender's not in this to become a property manager, meaning
correct.
They're not interested in loaning you money and then you mess up the deal and then now they have to step in and take over. So,
right.
You know, they make their money by lending, not doing property management. So,
right.
You know, at the end of the day, they want to make sure that someone on that team knows what they're doing. Someone on that team is, has the experience, the resume
right.
to execute. So, you know, that's really, you know, our listeners are going to fall in one of those categories.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's, but it's possible,
right.
You know, not having credit at all, or even having, you know, being a non-accredited investor, not having that liquidity, not having that cash flow, and maybe possibly even not having that credit score doesn't
right.
necessarily mean that this is not for you or that it's not possible. All you got to do is team up with someone with those criteria checked.
Right. No, that makes sense. And it's good to see that we can actually acquire properties in other ways. And, you know, that's where, you know, I met you, and being able to travel with you, you know, hearing like that you can actually invest in properties without using your own money. So,
right.
You know, there's plenty of opportunities.
Yeah. You've had the front row seat to understanding how knowledge and the skill sets
yep.
have been more important that no, you know, how many people have we given a lecture and they've come and bought a deal to us or they
yep.
wanted us to participate. They've never asked us to, can you write a check?
Correct.
They want us to come in and set up all the systems,
yep.
run the property,
yep.
develop the management plan, execute on the management plan, so on and so forth. So, yeah, at the end of the day, I think the easiest part is the money.
Correct.
The hardest part is the skill.
Right.
No one wants to talk about the skill, you
right.
know, for the most part. Everyone wants to kind of dance around that and then say, you know, well, you know, we'll bring in an expert property management company, but – I said in our coaching call today, if you're the one raising the money as the general partner or the member manager of the business that was started to invest in Property X.
Right.
If you ask me, Nathan, for $500,000 to invest in a deal that you're doing, I don't want you to take my money and then tell me that you have to go and find a property manager somewhere, a management company somewhere to manage the asset. My concern is, and you may, but at the end of the day, I'm handing you the money. I'm not handing the, I might as well take that money and go hand it to the property manager. I want to hand that money to the expert.
Right.
So if you're not the expert and you then have to take a management plan and get approved, and I've seen this, I was saying that in our group, and now I'm saying it in all the airways, but there was someone advertising that they bought a property and saying, you know, in their advertisement, hey, if you want to invest with us, here's some information.
Right.
We've just purchased this particular property and we've just got our management plan approved by our property manager and our lender. And I'm thinking to myself, you don't want to, you're literally asking people to invest with you and you're putting together a management plan and you have to go get it approved or get it, validated by the management company. Why am I going to invest my money with someone like you? This sounds like you just started out and you're just learning. I mean, for a great syndicator, you set the tone. The buck stops with you. You're the one I'm writing a check to. I don't want you to have to then go and get your stuff approved or checked. And you should be setting the management plan and then either hiring or putting in place the management company to execute on the management plan that you've set forth. So, you know, what I'm saying right. to say this, the highest, the principal thing is training and education and developing the skill sets that you need to get from point A to point B. And I'm telling you this, as someone who goes and has, and you've seen, and we've Correct. Flown to Texas and sat in front of a Mark Willis, the former CEO of Keller Williams, and you see me raising money. And I'm telling you not what I've heard, but I'm telling you what I know.
Right.
That when you're sitting in front of individuals like this, accredited investors, sophisticated investors, multi hand over fist millionaires,
yep.
you have to know your stuff backwards and forwards. You have to know implementation, stabilization, all the five phases. I mean, I'll give them to you now. Acquisition, implementation, stabilization, mm-hmm. growth, and the exit strategy. You got to know all five phases. You got to be able to navigate all five phases successfully, in and out, not one phase, not two phases, not just maybe three phases, but you got to navigate all five phases successfully, backwards, forwards, and backwards again, and forwards again.
Absolutely.
And, to be successful, if you're going to ask these individuals for hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars to invest in your project, you got to know it. You can't depend on a third party. You have to know. You can hire a third party. That's okay. Right. But you better know more than what they do.
That's true. And I mean, we've actually received some of our coaching clients because they've been turned down for their loans because they don't have the experience, So that's excellent. I mean, we got to make sure you have the knowledge. In your second move, you said understanding market conditions that affect supply and demand in the target area.
Mm-hmm.
And so why is that part of, understanding, the five key moves to checkmate?
Because it's fluid.
Okay.
There's a lot of fluidity in the market. So, I mean, as we speak right now, concerns are the markets. How are we going to react to what's going on, in Washington with possible, he's probably not going to get impeached. And this is not political either, Correct. But we have to pay attention to what's going on. So, what type of, the tariffs and the interest rates and capital markets and gold and just keeping an eye on the treasury, all of these things, affect us at a macro level and then affect us at a micro level.
Mm-hmm.
And then, at the neighborhood and residential level where our properties are located, and they impact our prospect tenants' demographics. So if you really don't understand the markets and how actual fluid they are, the fluidity of the markets, and you're not able to predict as well as forecast, you're buying and underwriting based on what a project is doing today and possibly even tomorrow.
Okay.
But you need to understand how to always stay at least 3 to 4 months ahead, because markets usually lag 3 to 4 months or behind some sort of, I won't say a catastrophe, sometimes right. in a catastrophe, things drop suddenly, but there's always usually a 3 to 4 month period lag. So you always have to have a 3 to 4 month period forecast, and to be able to forecast and understand markets and be able to navigate and move rents around and budgets and things of that nature, you really have to know what you're doing, because you don't necessarily want to catch a dropping knife. You get the debt, you get the leverage put in place, you execute on the property, and then 3-4 months later, we go into a market swing, or, you know, softening market, you know, rents are softening, vacancies go up, mm-hmm. you know, loss to lease, debt, or bad debt, all those things, you know, start to tick up,
right,
trend upwards. That affects your underwriting now, but now you're out of underwriting, you own the property, it's no longer underwriting. You know, you got to perform, because the bank ain't trying to hear that. Oh, you know, well, you know, this month Sammy has been late on his rent this month. We're trying to collect. You know, they don't want to hear that. They're going to foreclose. That's why I say the net operating income is the principal thing. And so what affects the net operating income? So, you know, you just really have to understand how to forecast. And a lot of that forecasting comes from really understanding what it takes to operate the property, boots on the ground at the operational level. So the management and understanding the systems that are put in place, and then how that affects and forecasting the markets and how the management is going to be affected by the actual markets, and then laying a management plan in place that is going to be flexible.
Right, okay.
That is allowing you a little room to bend.
Right.
Markets soften. Okay, I can, you know, I pro forma my rents being 1,000. Right. But, you know, now rents are, you know, $997. You know, rents are $990.
Okay.
$980. You got some room. You know exactly where the critical point is if you have to drop down to $940,
right,
that it's going to affect, you know, the loan, you know, you paying down the debt on a monthly basis, and or what occupancy rate you have to be at to maintain all operating expenses and make sure debt is paid, you know, at the end of the month. So understanding that changes in the market, which are inevitable, are going to, you know, if the management plan is too rigid, and this is what you can do,
right,
and this is the rent that you have to achieve, and you can't, you know, you can only go upwards, you can increase the rents, you know, but you can't in your underwriting, or you're going to be in trouble. You got to maintain a certain occupancy, and all those margins are extremely tight, you know, and there's a change in the market, and you're not able to adjust or adapt, your management plan can't adjust or adapt, that's when you have these issues. And underwriting is key, and understanding when you're dealing and you're speaking in front of a lender, and that you can show them in your management plan that you have this flexibility put in place, and you're able to, you know, perhaps maneuver.
Right.
And there's some flexibility in your plan and your execution and your management plan. You know, that is best. But I'll say this.
Yeah.
People are getting along right now with a lot of posturing and decoration and a lot of hype because they haven't went through a correction. You know, there's a lot of folks talking about, you know, oh, yeah, I buy a lot of multifamily. I've been investing and, you know, but haven't seen a correction. I was there in 2008. I was there in 9/11. When the towers dropped, and I seen the markets, you know, I was there. I have thousands of units under management. I've been there through tons of cycles. Mm. So what I'm saying is that, you know, at the end of the day, everyone in the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is always king.
Correct.
Everybody looks good when the market's good. Everyone looks like an expert when the market is doing well. Everyone looks like their management plan is being executed upon correctly when the markets are doing, when rents are continuously rising, mm-hmm. everyone looks good. There's, you know what I mean? You don't get to see who's swimming naked because the market's doing so well. But let there be some sort of correction.
Right.
Then you get to see, this is when you have to fall back on fundamentals.
That makes perfect sense. And I want you guys to, I mean, think about that as you're listening to this podcast. You know, you really want to make sure that you're understanding market conditions, and we don't want those romantic connections to the investment. You know, you're going to have plenty of people bringing you opportunities that, you know, are glossy.
Richest man in Babylon.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's so. one of the five keys of, what was it? Gold or five laws
gold
of gold.
Feeds the man.
Gold feeds the man when you put it to impossible.
Yep.
You know,
impossible earnings.
Impossible earnings. That's exactly what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
2,000 years ago, that was written.
Correct. Correct. And before we get into the next three moves, wanted to just stop and thank our sponsors. First sponsor is Buy It, Rent It, Profit. Buy It, Rent It, Profit is the best-selling book by Brian Chavis. This book is in the U.S. Library of Congress, one of the only official resources in the U.S. Library of Congress on rental investing and property management. Make sure you grab a copy of that from your local bookstore. You can find it on Amazon. You can visit brianchavis.com. This podcast is also sponsored.
Pick it up at your bookstore, man. Stop being lazy. Go to your bookstore. Support your local bookstore. Get to a Barnes & Noble's. Show them some love. Get off of Amazon all the time and ordering your books. Get to a bookstore, people.
Absolutely. And this isn't meant to be self-promotion as much as, we're hosting these coaching calls every week. And we understand the severity of making sure that you measure twice, measure three times. You gotta cut once.
And this, by all means, cut once.
Absolutely. And this book is really that guidebook. So I can't say it enough. Make sure you go pick up your copy. This podcast is also brought to you by the Multifamily Matrix. Multifamily Matrix is our coaching program where we help you to find your investments, team up with other investors, get the coaching and training and support that you need. You get to spend, an hour a week with Brian Chavis and other investors. It's just a great resource. We've got over 130 videos in the Matrix, several resources, discounts on services. So make sure you go to brianchavis.com/matrix to learn more about that. But let's get back into the five key moves, man. So we got to see you break this down today in the coaching call. So the third move was understanding the DNA property. The DNA of the property, to understand projected returns. And this list that you broke down was massive, man. I mean, there's so many parts to the DNA of this property. If you mess that up, you're holding, I mean, you guys know, multi-million dollar project and you've got this wrong. Why is the DNA strand important to, this understanding how you pay for it? And then if you could break it down in your own words, what is the DNA?
Yeah, well, every property has its own. It's kind of hard to explain unless you've literally been there, but I'm going to explain it.
Okay.
Unless you've had thousands of properties, hundreds of properties, you begin to understand in hundreds of different markets, or maybe even in the same market but in different zip codes because it changes from zip code to zip code. So you don't necessarily have to be all over the nation.
Right.
You can be in a certain geographical area like Central Florida and just be in various different zip codes and see different markets change. If you want an example, go to a Walmart on one side of town and then go to another Walmart on another side of town and look at the items change on the shelves.
Correct.
Okay? That gives you an idea. That the demographics and psychographics change from zip code to zip code. So understanding that, Walmart understands that. They know that they must change the items on their shelves to cater to that particular demographic that's walking through those doors. As a operator and owner, I have to do the same thing with my prospect tenant. I have to buy a property, position a property, landscaping, interior, exterior, furnishings, fixtures, amenities, all that has to cater. So those are my products on my shelf. They have to cater to a certain demographic. If they don't, that demographic is going to go somewhere else, as if they were to walk into a Walmart, not see what they want, and then go to Target. So at the end of the day, or Amazon, at the end of the day, you have to be able to have, the items that they're looking for, anticipate their needs in advance.
Right.
So understanding that a property has its DNA, each property is different based upon the demographic and psychographics that will make up that property, is what's going to affect the actual strand itself, which never really changes, is gross potential income minus vacancy. Your vacancy is going to impact, collection loss, bad debt, physical occupancy, or mainly economic occupancy, turnover costs, all that. Then you minus that out, you get your EGI, effective gross income.
Okay.
Then OI, other income. So if you have on that property, vending machines, parking, whatever, sources of other income you can create your gross operating income, all the income that property can produce from all its various creative ways, mainly from rent. Then you minus out operating expenses, OE.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to understand that's very granular. So, you can throw in a ratio to it, attach it if you're doing back of the envelope, a BOA approach. And you can say age on the property, demographic location, demographics and psychographics of the prospect tenant, that property will probably have a 55 to 60% expense load.
Right.
You know, 60 to 65% expense load if it's a Class C located in a more transitional area.
Right.
Workforce housing. You know what I mean? You can throw a ratio on that to do a quick back of the envelope, but then you'll want to get more granular and understand operating expenses and breaking them operating expenses down by unit costs and average, and there's formulas and things that we discuss and charts that we have within our underwriting and dashboard that, you know, all of our matrix clients have access to, so they understand exactly what they're looking at when they're doing that. But you take out those operating expenses, you minus that, now you get your net operating income, and then you have your reserve for replacement account set aside based upon your underwriting, your due diligence, and what that has uncovered.
Right.
You know, during the process of due diligence, that 30 to 60 day period, or possibly 90 day period that you've had the property under due diligence, you identified what CapEx needs to happen, what budgets need to be set aside to do what to certain units. Then you have, from there, you have your before tax cash flow. And then, I'm sorry, your debt service. Okay. And then after debt service, then your before tax cash flow. So that's the DNA strand. That DNA strand, okay,
yep,
shows up in any underwriting software. I don't care what platform you use. I don't care whose you got. You went online, you found somebody's. That DNA strand is going to show up because there's a worksheet in there that you got to build
right
off of year one, current financials, pro forma. That DNA strand is going to show up. So understanding what impacts the DNA strand, and the best person to really identify and know what impacts that on a day-to-day basis is the property manager and asset manager, because they know what's going on. That's why I'm saying this, the education, the training, right, is so important to know what's actually going on the property, because I have great underwriters.
Right.
I have a senior underwriter that writes for, you know, one of the biggest hedge funds out there. And I've told him that his underwriting was inaccurate because you're basing it on assumptions. You're basing it on what you've pulled from ColdStar, and you're correct, basing it on, but I'm actually in the market. I know. I'm listening. I'm looking at reports every day from our property managers who are leasing these rental units, who are asking the questions. Because an opportunity, and you taught me this too, Nate, and this is transcendent. This goes into business. But when someone comes to you and they're asking for your product, whether they buy or not, you should be asking them a series of questions. How did you hear about us?
Correct.
Oh, well, I'm not interested in renting from you. Okay, I understand that. But we're always looking to improve. Can you tell me why you chose not to rent? Yeah. Oh, space. You know, your location is great, but your units are not large enough.
Right.
Or I was hoping to get this, or I'm hoping to see this. So you understand exactly what's going on.
Correct.
That's where management and asset management comes in. So you're able to adjust. Yep. And you understand what the prospect tenant needs. So it's more than just going on somebody's website and pulling out some right basic information, jumping on Zillow and pulling out. You're not going to get that. You got to get the information coming from boots on the ground. And the only way you do that is actually having the right system set up, you know, at the operational level, at the management level, to be able to extract that information, because it's constantly flowing.
Yep.
Markets are constantly up, constantly down. It's always flowing. So even property management software now, when I was in the industry years right ago, leasing, you had a fixed rate every month. And then right sometimes once a week, the asset manager would get the reports and see that how long the unit sat on the market, or, you know, seeing that our occupancy was too high.
Yep.
You know, a lot of people brag, well, I'm 98% occupancy. I learned that if you're 98% occupancy, your rents are too low. So, you know, they would always make adjustments, but they would come, you know, handwritten on the report or whatever, you make the adjustment. Now they got software that makes those adjustments based on what actually goes on when the agents are putting in and they've just leased the unit. You got 10 units. You start with 3 units this morning, and two and your rental prices are $1,000, and one of the agents, leasing agents, just leased 2 of the units. The price for that third unit goes from $1,000 to $1,400.
Okay.
Based on, you know, occupancy levels. So, you know, a lot of software nowadays it's fluent, and the rents are changing on an hourly basis. So it just shows you just how fluid the market is, you know, based on supply and demand. So you really have to, you know, you really got to know that DNA strand. You really got to know the root of it. Get to the root.
Get to the root. All right. So we understand the DNA process, the DNA strand. We're understanding market conditions and then understanding your credit standing, how much borrowing power you can bring to the table. So the fourth move that you said to checkmate in how to actually pay for these properties is preparing yourself for the lending process, i.e. the lender's evaluation of the property and yourself. You know, so what did you, you know, how does that come play into factor in your process, preparing yourself for the lending process when the lender's going to scrutinize the loan, the property themselves?
Good question. So the systems that I have in place, the dashboards that I have in place, the framework.
Right.
Has already prepared for that. So it's not that I have to listen to a lender and then get prepared or get feedback from that lender. My process is more stringent, probably more stringent than the actual lender themselves.
Right.
So once it's gone through this process and I hand you my analysis, our screenshots of our spreadsheet.
Right.
You know, it's you know, you're at a different ball. I wish we can pull it up, but I would show you that, you know, how detailed our underwriting software is. So once we present that to the lender and we walk them through our findings and our quick report, we have like a one sheet report with our findings. And they're able to see the current rent rolls. They're able to look at everything, appraisals and all that themselves. You know, they'll send an appraiser out there. But our findings and what we have, our underwriting is probably, you know, is more detailed and more granular than theirs. So by the time it gets to, you know, and at this point, you got to keep in mind, once we've passed LOI and we're in the contract, we're already in heavy at LOI, I'm in heavy discussions with at least three or four lenders that I like, that I like to use, and we're sending them over our findings.
Right.
And they're with us step by step. We're sending them screenshots every day. They're saying, yeah, Brian, awesome. This is good. I'm working on this deal for you. I think I can get it. You know, they may ask you, is there anything, can you get me more information or more detail on whatever?
Correct.
You know, but for the most part, they don't really have to ask for anything. It's already there because we know our process within, you know, if you're a true syndicator, you're developing a true management company, these are the systems that are in place or should be in place. So you're not having to kind of, you know, adjust to a lender or the lender have to tell you, can you get me this? Can you get me this? Can you get me this? Hey, I also need this. Can you get me this? And you already, you know, you're handing that to them saying, let's go.
Yeah. If you've been listening to our podcast, I mean, you'll hear that we do pre-due diligence. Then we're doing due diligence.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot of measuring going
on. There's a lot of framework.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of framework.
Absolutely. And then, so the fifth and final move, the final checkmate is putting your property under contract and closing the deal. Love for you to walk us through, you know, what you're going through when you're putting the property under contract and closing the deal. What are some of the things that you're thinking about or evaluating so that you just, you know, have a not smooth sailing, but so that things are going well?
Oh, you said it right. Smooth sailing. Yeah, I mean, it should be smooth sailing.
Absolutely.
At this point, then it's really about, you know, excited to implement the new systems.
Right.
So at this point, we've identified, of course, you know, the software that they're using. You know, we've probably have already really focused on the migration period to, you know, move the software over from what they are using to what we currently use. And now that used to be a pain.
Right.
5 years ago, I mean, you know, companies used to charge rent roll and Yardi. They used to charge you a grip to migrate the information, but now it's done, Nathan. You know, all this stuff is just done, and you know, it's like downloading your a new app in your phone. So I mean, it's made easy. So to be able to convert to whatever property management software you're doing, so you know, that's key. And then, you know, the focus is on the staff. Sometimes you keep staff, sometimes you don't. I mean, for some of our listeners, you know, they may be doing the management themselves because they just bought a 20 unit where the owner was the manager, and then this particular group is going to be the manager. So now it's really implementing the systems. Again, that's implementation. If you know the five phases, acquisition, implementation, stabilization, growth, and exit strategy.
Right, right.
Well, what you just asked me is, what am I thinking about? I'm thinking about stage two, which is implementation. Right. What is implementation? Implementing the proper systems, both hard systems and soft systems. What procedures manuals need to be put in place for that particular property. The procedures manual identify the work that needs to be done. then tells the user how to perform that work on a consistent basis. And when I have consistency on the property, then I have profitability on the property.
Right, right.
So our operating systems are now in place, and our operating systems are dictated by the management plan that's put in place, watched over by the asset manager.
Got it.
Making sure that the property manager is executing. That's how it works. That's how it works. Think of it like a franchise.
Right.
It works like a McDonald's, a KFC, you know, more so these days, a Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
So it works masterfully, no matter where it is, what part of the region or nation that it's in, it works the same. When you go to the restaurant, it's the same. I went to China. I've been up in the mountains of China, and not recently, so you don't have to worry about me having to get vaccine. But you know, I've stumbled across a KFC. You know, for the most part, going into a McDonald's or Burger King, the systems are the same. So my point is that no matter where you are in the world, no matter where you are in the region, your properties should run almost like a franchise. If you haven't put a franchise model and you're asking me to raise money
right,
as a limited partner in your deal, that's the first thing I'm going to ask you. Can I see your systems? How is this property going to be maintained? If you can't provide me operating systems and procedures manuals and a management plan, I see all the same stuff we see. I don't,
of course,
people, classes and you know, and this is how you put together a prospectus. Mm-hmm. This is how you put together an offering memorandum to go out there and find investors.
Right.
You might find a couple of suckers. Absolutely, because the sucker's born every minute. So you might find some people to put money in your deals. But in order to go in front of an individual like you see me do.
Correct.
We won't name drop but one. In this room, you got Mark Willis, former CEO of Keller Williams. You know, we've been in front of countless others, mm-hmm. athletes who bring in four or five different accountants and business advisors that we've got to go in front of. When you're in front of these individuals, man, they don't want to see a fancy. When I handed that beautiful offering memorandum to Mark.
Correct.
Yeah, I remember. Do you remember?
Yep.
What did he do?
Yeah, tossed it.
Right?
Yeah.
He was, talk to me about the deal. You talk to me about the deal. I don't want to. You talk to me about the deal. Tell me about how we're going to operate. You see what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying?
Absolutely.
So my point is, if you're really going to be successful at this business, Nathan, you're really going to get through these checklists, and you're really playing chess and not checkers, right? And you get past all the hype and the books and all the reading and all the stuff. Now it's time to really execute, and you really want to make money in this industry. Now it's time to step your knowledge up and really understand what this industry is about and get to the root. Because I'm going to sound like Jesse Jackson here, but until you get to the root, you can't get to the fruit.
That's true.
Right? You got to get to the root of it. You got to be rooted in the foundation of the knowledge.
Right.
Because these folks, did they not? They drilled me.
Absolutely. Yeah, there was a commercial developer there as well. You know, surprise
drilled
guess.
Me.
And yeah, they drilled
surprise me. Guess who drilled me.
Correct.
And by the end of the day, stood up and shook my hand.
Yep.
And said, I just have to shake your hand. I really want to know where you got your education.
Yep.
Thinking I was going to say something like, you know, Harvard School of Business yep. or one of those fancy Stanford or whatever. Self-taught. I've been in this industry, you know, but I was self-taught by the industry.
Right.
So what did he do?
Stood up and shook my hand.
So my point is that, and how many times did anyone look at that fancy offering memorandum with the, not to say that that's not useful. There's a Correct. Time and place.
Yeah, absolutely.
But when it came time to actually get folks to commit, how many of them actually looked at that fancy offering memorandum None. Or our website?
None.
They yeah. drilled me. They wanted to know about the deal and what I knew about the deal. And so my point is that, you know, you have to know this industry. You have to know the ins and outs. You can't raise money in any capacity, friends, family, or now as a syndicator dealing with limited partners, and expect to raise folks money and not really understand every aspect of this business and say, oh, well, I'm just going to bring in a property manager and I'm going to get them to check me off and make sure I'm doing things right as if that's Big Brother. Well, shit, why are we putting money with you? Why aren't we putting money with Big Brother? Why am I giving you $1 million? If you don't know, you got to go to this person, get the blessings.
Right. I just
am saw, I making sense?
Yeah, you're making perfect sense, man. And you know, if you guys are thinking about investing in property And, you know, I just saw in a Facebook group, gentleman said, I got $70,000. Is that enough to put a down payment on a multifamily property or partner on a deal? And so the money's kind of burning a hole in
money's
his pocket.
Money's out there, bro.
You know, the money's burning a hole in his pocket.
Money's out there.
But if you have the money and you're eager to invest, you should be asking these types of questions. You know, don't just take someone's piece of paper and say, okay, that's great. 12 cap. Here's my $70,000.
Right.
Ask them the questions.
Here's a fancy offering memorandum.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A fool and their money are quickly departed.
Absolutely.
Nathan. A fool and their money are quickly departed. And I'm not calling anyone a fool. No. I'm just saying, hey, listen, if you're not doing this, then yeah, you are a fool. And I'll tell you that to your face. If you're willing to part ways with $70,000 without the checks and balances and understanding who the general partners are in the deal and whether or not they have a track record on executing. You know, is there a management plan in place? Can I see procedures, manuals on how you operate? You know, and if I get the answer of, well, no, I haven't selected a management company yet, but then we'll get that and we'll show you how. I'm not giving you any money.
Yep.
I'm not getting my money.
No. And, yeah, if you have $70,000 that you're interested in giving away, you can visit chavascapitalre.com.
Hey, listen, Nate. If you got $70,000, you're asking them kind of questions, this is what you need to do. Put it in the bank.
That is true.
Give it to Chase. Absolutely. Give it to Bank of America. Put it in the bank and don't play with the money like that.
Absolutely. And yeah, I like to joke around, but yeah, if you have $70,000 and you don't really know where you're at yet, put it in the bank and get educated. And yeah, come to brianchavis.com and join the matrix, you know. And that's going to be an extremely low-cost way to you know, get yourself up to speed and so that you know exactly what you want to do with your investment. So,
and who you're investing with, more so.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Man, so, I mean, this is great, man. So, you know, today we talked about how to make yourself more attractive to lenders and investors. You know, thank you so much for breaking this down for us, man.
Yeah.
You know?
And the key, Nate, is just making sure that when you're saying making yourself more attractive, the best way to make yourself attractive is not through a fancy website.
Correct.
Not through a fancy offering memorandum or deal package, not a webinar that you do and you want to explain and walk us through the webinar of the deal. I want to know more about you, who you are, your level of knowledge, the procedures, manuals you have in place, the management plan you put in place. I want to know about that. Show me the deal. Yeah, we can talk about the deal because most of those numbers are all just, you know, rah, rah, rah. We haven't seen you do anything. You've learned how to hit a heavy bag, but we ain't seen you take a punch.
Correct. Correct.
Everybody looks good in the gym, hitting a heavy bag, boom, 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 looking top notch on the speed bag, boom, 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 all in the gym. And then you get in the sparring ring and get hit in the mouth one time, and then you're out cold, looking like Butterbean. So at the end of the day, you know, it's. I don't want to hear about all the. Show me how this is going to run like a business, like a franchise. That's the number one takeaway that everyone should walk away with. And if you really want to know, you ever read a book called The E-Myth?
Mm-hmm.
It talks about the franchise business model. And every good company I've ever worked for in the multifamily industry, and when I taught the Certified Apartment Manager course, it was all about implementing and putting the right type of procedures manuals in place, basically franchisable systems in place in order to get the consistency. And the consistency created the profitability. And that is the key. So really focus on creating franchise business models for your, even if, you know, and I'm not saying you franchise, I'm saying franchise models, so you're able to create the consistency. And that's what you're having to show. That's what you should be showing investors, that you have the ability to create and put in the proper procedures manuals to predict and have the flexibility to move. Because your numbers are cute. We get that. Most savvy investors know you probably ain't going to get those numbers. They know that. But they want to kind of know that, you know, they more so want to know that you have the knowledge and there's flexibility in the model.
Yep.
And that there's systems in place to ensure that, you know, that some of the numbers are met. And I'm not saying that they're looking at the numbers and going, oh, yeah, I ain't worried about it. They're worried about it. But I'm saying they're more so concerned, you know, about the systems that are in place, the flexibility of the model, the management plan itself, the execution of the management plan, the systems, operating systems that are in place, to ensure that consistency, that's what was really more important. That franchise model
absolutely
is more important. Then we can talk about the fancy brochures at the end of the day, because to be honest with you, no one ever looked at those. No one's ever looked at those that we've really, you know, that we put forth to any kind of real sophisticated investors. It does more to sell classes and coaching sessions and maybe sell a few books. But in the real world and real application, you know, I question its effectiveness by itself. I would say, and I'm talking from experience, what I know, not what I heard, the level of knowledge that you have, your ability to prove that you have the systems to implement on day one, and that you're the one that is driving those systems, not dependent upon another management company that can up and go belly up tomorrow.
Correct.
After you bought this property. And now what? That you're the one that is that has set the tempo on the property and set the framework and the management plans and put all that in place and the systems in place. And then you go out and find a management company to run your playbook.
Absolutely.
That is the key.
Absolutely. No, I love it. I would just challenge anybody, if you have the opportunity to manage your own properties, you know, please do it. You know, not for a long, you don't have to do it for a long period of time, but, you know, get your feet wet, you know, really, you know, push yourself to get that level of knowledge.
And most of our lenders, Nate, yeah. I mean, our lenders, most of our listeners, they're at that level where they're looking at 15, 20 units. Yep. They're getting into that 30, 80 unit. And, you know, for the most part, they probably should be the one to implement the systems. They're, if at least they need to be the asset manager.
Correct.
And then maybe turn it over to a property manager once the systems are in place. But no matter what you have, I don't care if you have a duplex, it needs procedures. Your duplex, and I used to say this all the time when we gave those lectures.
Right.
Your single family home rental needs the operating systems more than an 80-unit apartment building. Because I can hide mistakes in an 80-unit apartment building. You can't hide no mistakes in a single-family home, brother. It's a break-even ratio.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So I can benefit from the economies of scale and make a few mistakes, and you would never know. The more units I have, that's why you want critical mass. So even the less amount of units you have, the more you should be dependent upon systems to operate and run your properties.
I love it.
I'll say no more.
Well, we want to just take a moment to thank all of our sponsors for the podcast. If you've enjoyed the knowledge that you've received today, one of the ways that you can support us at no cost to you is to just drop a like on our podcast, you know, leave a review, share it with a friend. You know, these are all things that are going to help us grow and help us to spread this message to investors. We want to make sure that people are moving into safe investments. People are able to own the portfolios that they want in 2020 and beyond. And, you know, please visit brianchavis.com. We've got a lot of great events coming up. We've got some trainings. We've got coaching opportunities. So visit brianchavis.com for more information about rental properties. And B, once again, thank you so much for joining us in the studio, brother.
Thank you,
next
man.
Week.
See you next week, brother.
All right, man. Talk to you soon.